But if you close your eyes. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with some anti-Independence Day celebrations. Move on to the rich getting richer bill Congress just passed. And follow all of that up with the grand opening of America's first concentration camp. Let's begin, shall we? Here in the United States, we just celebrated July 4th, Independence Day. A holiday marking the Second Continental Congress of 1776, formally declaring King George should fuck all the way off for 27 specific reasons. Things like being tariffed on goods without having a vote first, or what the kids today like to call an executive order. Denying due process to colonists. Using governors to go after perceived enemies, while simultaneously suspending the power of colonial legislators to govern. Any of that sound eerily familiar to what the fuck is happening to the United States for the last 6 months? Or how about the previous 7 days?
On a scale from 1 to 10, my friend, you're fucked. In lack of other words, I'd say you're fucked.
Because, in case you haven't heard,
we have breaking news that we have been expecting. The House has just voted to pass President Trump's massive spending bill. The vote was 218 to 214.
It will now head to President Donald Trump's desk for signature with a possible bill signing ceremony on July 4th. He wanted this symbolic deadline. That's why they're pushing so hard to get it done.
218, the nays are 214. The motion is adopted.
So this is how our 249-year experiment into democracy dies. All the congressional maggots screaming USA with thundering applause. And let's not forget, they played the Village People's YMCA as they signed into law the largest redistribution of wealth in America's history. You know, just in case the poors needed some ideas on where to move on to now that the biggest rich people on welfare declaration has passed. Now, there are so many no good, horrible, very bad things in this bill. I don't have time to get into all of it, but I would like to highlight a few of the most deplorable things so you can get a sense of just how cruel Republicans really are. For starters, Lisa Murkowski, Alaska's pathetic excuse for a senator, may have been one of the few Reich wingers who actually read the bloated but ugly bill, because she was a hell no for a hot minute before, of course, she struck a deal.
The bill is so bad that even the person who provided the crucial vote, like the one singular vote that made this thing pass out of the Senate, can't defend it. She knows it's bad. Here's Alaska Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski.
Do I like this bill? No, because I tried to take care of Alaska's interests. But I know that in many parts of the country, there are Americans that are not going to be advantaged by this bill. I don't like that.
Listen to this quote from Senator Murkowski, who just caved and voted for this bill. And you got to love this. She said, quote, "My hope is that the House is going to look at this and recognize that we're not there yet," end quote. I mean, my question to her is, if you really believe that, then why the hell did you vote for this bill?
Republican leaders changed the bill to appeal to Murkowski and win her vote.
They doubled a fund to help rural hospitals from $25 to $50 billion over 5 years. They made changes for nutrition benefits targeted just to help Alaska. Plus, Murkowski got a tax break for whalers.
So tell me, you know, this bill you just voted for will devastate everyday Americans like your constituents, but you still want to get reelected in 2028 without telling me you're a piece of shit. And I say that with the utmost disrespect to a woman of her advanced age who enjoys the carefree existence of having all of her medical bills paid in full by the American taxpayer. But the icing on this shit sandwich came when the Senate parliamentarian struck down one of Murkowski's deals regarding Medicare because it wasn't a budgetary issue, which is expected, but not allowed, according to congressional rules on budget bills. So after losing twice, Murkowski cast one vote that determined the fate of millions of Americans, including Alaskans, because that's what she was going to do anyway, regardless of the fact the Congressional Budget Office already told everyone back in June, including Murkowski, that the Republicans' huge billionaire welfare bill was going to bankrupt millions of Americans. For example, here's Congressman Tim Burchett, apparently the best Tennessee has to offer, which means they can keep their shit. It ain't much. And a yes vote to hurt any Americans making less than $200,000 a year, saying this about the CBO's Cassandra-esque warning.
So you're taking issue with the CBO estimate here?
Yes, ma'am, I do have an issue with it. The office is very partisan. I mean, 85% of the people in their healthcare division identify as a Democrat, or they've contributed to Democrats, or they're registered Democrats. They're leading, I believe their leading economist is that. We ought to do away with these organizations because we use them when we like them. We don't use them when we don't like them.
So in January 2024, there was a Republican who trusted the CBO so much that they reintroduced a resolution to require the House clerk to read the CBO estimate of any bill. I believe that was you, sir. The third time you introduced that resolution, is that right?
That's correct, ma'am. Of course, and that proves.
But
just
you
what
don't
I
like
said.
The when it, you when don't it, when like the CBO us. Now. You introduced that resolution over multiple years, but now you're dissing the CBO.
Well, duh. Of course he is. These maggots have a moral compass? No. They don't have that thing inside them that embarrasses the fuck out of them when their hypocrisy is showing. That's why he doubled down after getting caught trash-talking numbers he doesn't like from the same agency he was praising just a few months back when he was having a different kind of mantra about government spending on the poors. Fuck, even the smallest Johnson to ever speak for the House knew the bill his fellow cunts were pushing was going to piss off a shit ton of people, like their entire voter base. He had a national ad campaign taken down because it was warning Republicans were going to do what they just did.
House Majority Forward, a nonprofit affiliated with Democratic leadership's House Majority PAC, has rolled out new ads in 26 congressional districts. The ads hit House Republicans for their vote to cut Medicaid spending.
Our messaging operation, our data operation, our focus group testing has shown time and time again, Medicaid cuts, unpopular. SNAP cuts, unpopular. Tariffs, unpopular. These three together proved to be kind of a deadly combo, and I think a lot of Republicans come November of 2026 are going to be regretting their votes. You're going to see this vote used in attack ads across the country next year. It's probably going to be the most cited vote in the midterms next year.
Several days later.
We had their ads taken down. Okay, they were running ads around the country and in swing districts trying to convince people that Republicans were going to gut Medicaid. It's just simply not true, and that's why their ads and billboards had to come down. We sent them a cease and desist letter because we pointed out they were lying.
Oh, they were lying, you say? Is that your argument? Because the bill you just passed kicks an estimated 17 million Americans off of their health insurance by having the funding magically disappear. Or are you referring to the fact that these cuts, not cuts, are scheduled to start in 2027 because you think Americans are stupid and will blame the incoming Congress post-2026 midterms, not you fuckers who are in office right now? Because any way you spin this, it sounds to me like...
You hear? Congress just passed a bill legalizing murder if you're rich.
No, they didn't. Oh, my God, they did.
What?
Hold on. Just because it passed the House doesn't mean the Senate...
Really, Diane?
Okay, but the president could still veto...
Really, Diane?
Damn it, Diane. Old Yamtits already signed the bill that kicks 17 million people off of their health insurance in order to give tax breaks for the wealthy. Sounds like the same thing, doesn't it? while also creating a labyrinth of paperwork for those receiving Medicare and Medicaid benefits to wander aimlessly through, while new requirements such as working 80 hours a month makes so much sense because most of these recipients are elderly and or disabled. And what about those children under the age of 16 just soaking up all that sweet Medicare and Medicaid money that should be lining the pockets of assholes making a million or more a year? I guess we'll just have red states rewriting those child labor laws in the next, I don't know, couple of months to look forward to, or perhaps they could participate in the Trump-themed Hunger Games the Slobfather just announced in order to get health care.
To bring back our people together through the power of sports, America 250 will also host a brand new, first-of-its-kind youth athletes. It's a competition known as the Patriot Games, and it features top high school athletes from all 50 states. It's going to be great. And this phenomenal patriotic sporting event will be nationally televised, and it will be led by our great Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's really doing it. Yeah.
And I gotta say, that dystopian nightmare pairs perfectly with the $660 million Republicans just cut from nationwide school lunch programs. And I wouldn't put it past these fuckers to have school lunch funding as a reward for winning these Patriot Games, starring children ages 15 to 18. Doesn't sound to me like the odds are ever going to be anywhere close to the average American's favor, what with SNAP benefits now being revoked from households who have internet access, because according to the privileged rich, if you can afford internet, you can afford groceries. Never mind the fact that grade schools require students to have access to internet for educational purposes. And did you know there are parents who are required by their employer to have access to the internet in order to do their not a living wage job and are barely feeding their families, which is why they have SNAP benefits. But here come Republicans.
It is no concern of mine whether your family has... What was it again?
Food.
Ha! You really should have thought of that before you became peasants.
And while Americans, including children, are starving to death because they can't have Netflix and pizza at the same time after a long day at the mines, the brainworm running the Department of Health and Human Services unironically declared internet-connected monitoring bracelets are the future of American healthcare. Oh, and don't forget, straight from behind the curtain is Dr. Oz, the asshole running Medicare and Medicaid services, to remind us of our patriotic duty to our country to not be fat.
And it is your patriotic duty, I'll say it again, the patriotic duty of all Americans to take care of themselves, because it's important for serving in the military, but it's also important because healthy people don't consume healthcare resources.
We're hearing very innovative ideas. For example, could we allow some physicians to be gold card physicians because they're so good at making the right care for the right patient that maybe they don't have to go through a pre-authorization? There's some systems that don't even do pre-authorizations because they have already evolved into having ways of giving feedback to doctors so they learn when they're ordering tests and medications that aren't the right for a solution to a particular problem so they don't repeat those errors.
We're about to launch one of the biggest advertising campaigns in HHS history to encourage Americans to use wearables. It's a way of they can take responsibility and they can begin to make good judgments about their diet, about their physical activity, about the way that they live their lives. We think that wearables are a key to the MAHA agenda, making America healthy again. And we are going to, my vision is that every American is wearing a wearable within 4 years.
Okay, yeah, cool. Anyway, just one question. How much did Apple, Fitbit, Samsung, Microsoft, and Google pay you to barely articulate that disgusting, get them to pay us to track them bullshit? And another thing, to all of the elected officials who voted for this former heroin junkie who is known for keeping bear carcasses in Central Park as a midnight snack, and who most recently took his grandchildren to swim with him in a sewage-laced DC river, what the fuck is wrong with you? Because of you, we are all now going to have to wear gaudy orange-colored tracking bracelets that just so happen to capture more than just our step counts and heart rates and how long we've been using our screens. We're talking about data that can be used not only to monitor our movements, but predict our next steps based on factoring our, let's say, browser history. And for what, you might ask? Well, I'm going to tell you, but you won't like the answer coming from Vice Couch Cushion.
In a tweet, the CBO score, the proper baseline, the minutia of the Medicaid policy is immaterial compared to the ICE money and immigration enforcement provisions. And I think that is telling for a lot of reasons. I mean, consider this moment from the presidential campaign. When a voter in Wisconsin asked J.D. Vance about his plans to increase access to healthcare in rural areas.
What concrete plans would your administration have to protect rural healthcare access?
So there are a couple things here. So first of all, this goes back to the immigration issue. Now, you might not think that rural healthcare access is an immigration issue. I guarantee it is an immigration issue because we're bankrupting a lot of hospitals by forcing these hospitals to provide care for people who don't have the legal right to be in our country. We've got to stop that. Kick these illegal aliens out, focus on American citizens, and we will do a lot to make the business of rural healthcare much more affordable.
J.D. Vance's argument is that Trump's cruel mass deportation agenda would be carried out in service of keeping rural hospitals open. But today, he basically says the opposite. He says that actually rural hospitals have to close and people have to go without healthcare in service of carrying out Trump's cruel mass deportations. That's his point.
Well, you heard it right from the hillbilly sectional himself. There are two reasons why Americans are being kicked off their health insurance. Increasing everyone's out-of-pocket medical costs, women will have even less access to Planned Parenthood services, increased student loan debt and monthly payments, grade school students will go hungry at school, gun silencers will be cheaper, the deficit will be $4 trillion bigger, and a fuck ton of other horrifying shit. Number one, millionaires and billionaires are getting a huge and permanent tax break, while the rest of us will see increases in taxes by 2029. And B, Girth Vader's new private army, otherwise known as ICE, is getting $148 billion to deport every brown, then black, then move on to probably any white passing until America is white again, or for the first time. It's hard keeping up with all that Trump regime revisionist history, but I know one thing for sure. America has its first concentration camp, and it was built exactly where you think.
A new immigration detention center in the Everglades. Alligator Alcatraz, the 1,000-plus bed facility, will be at an abandoned airport surrounded by wetland, pythons, and alligators, a one-stop shop to carry out Trump's deportation operation.
The administration says this is going to cost about $450 million a year, but they say that it will be reimbursed, at least in part, by a FEMA program that was previously used to house migrants in different parts of the country, including in New York City. The Trump administration and the state of Florida had all of this built in just 8 days. It'll soon house up to 3,000 undocumented immigrants here.
In tents and trailers, not necessarily in brick and mortar permanent facilities.
Would that include then people, for example, who have been living here for decades, who pay their taxes, who send their children to school, as we've seen ICE raids that have rounded up those very individuals, young people?
It could be, yeah.
We're going to teach them how to run away from an alligator, okay? If they escape prison, how to run away. Don't run in a straight line. Run like this. And you know what? Your chances go up about 1%. Okay? Not a good thing.
And according to a review of ICE data by NBC News, only about half of those in ICE custody have either been charged with or convicted of a crime previously.
We are still going after the worst of the worst. But like any law enforcement agency, if we do encounter someone on the outside, or through the course of another law enforcement investigation, we do come across people that are just here illegally, we will no longer turn a blind eye to that.
The other day I was talking to some marshals that have been partnering with ICE. They said that they had detained a cannibal
and put him on a plane to take him home. And while they had him in his seat, he started to eat himself. And they had to get him off and get him medical attention. These are the kind of deranged individuals that are on our streets in America that we're trying to target and get out of our country.
Hold on there. Wait a feckin' minute. You mean to tell me the people who were eating the cats and the dogs are now eating themselves? And if you in the back believe that 28 days after her facelift bullshit coming out of puppy killer gnome's mouth, the Trump regime's got a concentration camp built on an airstrip in the middle of the Florida Everglades that never floods when it rains. Except...
Well, this evening, questions over the operation at the site dubbed Alligator Alcatraz. There are already concerns about flooding following 2 days of consistent rain.
As expected, in summer months, those afternoon thunderstorms easily create flooding. And in swampy areas like this one, plenty of mud. Already reports of flooding inside the facility, despite what the head of Florida's emergency management said yesterday.
It is a fully aluminum frame structure rated for winds of 110 miles an hour or a high-end Category 2.
As someone who grew up in Florida, has experienced all categories of hurricanes and more than my fair share of tropical storms, I can confidently say that man is full of shit. The more aptly named Alligator Auschwitz is built on mud with sand on top, and anyone who did not fail middle school science class knows erecting tents on top of mud and sand is not going to protect you from anything, especially a Florida rainstorm, which is probably why a semi-truck carrying AC units was captured on video leaving the Florida concentration camp just hours after Payless Putin, Lip Filler Gnome, and the press left the facility. I mean, ACs are expensive, folks, and they wouldn't want those things to get wet, and the flooding and the shorting out, disaster. Who am I kidding? Those ACs were totally for show and never meant to keep Trump regime's kidnapped victims cool at the Temu reboot of Nazi Germany, hosted by the Grand Florida Man, who's got a few concentration camp-inspired ideas of his own, such as turning members of the National Guard into immigration judges.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is asking the Trump administration to allow Florida National Guardsmen to serve as immigration judges. DeSantis says the appointees would be judge advocate generals already existing in the Florida National Guard.
We have submitted plans to DHS to be able to do really from soup to nuts, from apprehension to detention, even putting some of our people in the National Guard in line to serve as immigration judges to process this. We can do it.
Wow. So this Nazi relocation camp in Florida is really going for the Oscar with this one, this whole commitment to authenticity. Because I don't know if you knew, but according to records from Nazi Germany, they had their own SS judges and courts at the concentration camps to carry out their mass cremation plans. These judges not only helped out with processing those Nazis kidnapped, they also tried innocent people for criminal behavior inside the camps, oversaw investigations and trials, even having more authority over the fate of millions of people than any court recognized in Germany. So it may come as no surprise to anyone who passed high school history and doesn't own any Alligator Alcatraz merch that all of this, from building on mud and sand to creating an alternate judiciary, isn't going to stop with America's whitening. Because there's only so many of them, and there are so many more of us.
But we also have a lot of bad people that have been here for a long time. People that whack people over the head with a baseball bat from behind when they're not looking and kill them. People that knife you when you're walking down the street. They're not new to our country. They're old to our country. Many of them were born in our country. I think we ought to get them the hell out of here, too. You want to know the truth. So maybe that'll be the next job that we'll work on together.
Yeah, that tracks. Because when you're getting rid of people you don't like, Why stop with their country of origin? Why not just revoke their legal right to be here or obstruct the legal process that they are adhering to so that they're here legally? And nothing's stopping you from picking them up off the street, relocating them to a tent located on a sinking slab of mud and sand, having your own private judges convict them of any crime that you can make up just to justify turning them into slaves. Isn't that right, Massa Trump?
They've worked on the farms for 15 years and all of a sudden they've... So I have a great, Ron does, Christy does, we have a great feeling for the farmer and for others in the same position. And we're going to give them responsibility for people. And we're going to have a system of signing them up so they don't have to go. They can be here legally. They can pay taxes and everything. They're not getting citizenship, but they get other things. And the farmers need them to do the work. Without those people, you're not going to be able to run your farm.
You just described slavery and slave owners. Specifically, you just described the antebellum South on a fucking plantation kind of slavery that was officially abolished a long fucking time ago in this country. Although, one could rightfully argue that pre-Civil War slavery has evolved into the indentured servitude African Americans in this country face with systemic racism and socially accepted bigotry, thanks to President Hayes prematurely reversing the Reconstruction of the South. Of course, Hayes said, and I paraphrase, "The South has had 8 years to think about what a nearly centuries-long tradition of enslaving foreign people has done to this country, and they are ready to rejoin the rest of the class." Fuck Hayes. And because of dicks like former and former, but now current, presidences, making it easy for Americans to ignore its original sin and pretend like we don't know what the fuck is happening just because they haven't announced it, like that has ever preceded mass extermination.
Nobody's talking about extermination.
No one ever talks about it. They just do it. And you go on with your lives, ignoring the signs all around you. And then one day when the air is still and the night has fallen, they come for you.
Excuse me.
It's only then you realize while you're talking about organizing and committees, the extermination has already begun.
And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms such as Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, and Facebook. And we are always available for your listening pleasure on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadur for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times. And if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.